chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. I want to speak to you on the subject of the wise and the foolish. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our understanding. Lord, remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Teach us your truth from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one parable that Jesus never explained. Most of his parables, he would say that the field is the world and this and that and the other. This one, he just gave us. So we have to be very careful when we try to interpret a passage like this. And I think the first thing we have to do is to figure out who the characters are. You notice that he calls them 10 virgins. They all have the same identity, the same name. I think what he's talking about here is religion. I think that the 10 virgins represent the religious people of the world. And they are counting on something to get them to heaven. But you notice that some of them have oil and some of them do not have oil. The oil in Scripture almost always represents the Holy Spirit. So those are the religious people who are not born again. And the ones that have the oil are the religious people who are born again. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 and see how he lays this out as a religion. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I believe here that what he's talking about is that they all had the same appearance. You couldn't tell them apart. Kind of goes along with the parable of the tares in the field. Because he told the workers there, let them grow. Because when you start trying to rip up the tares, you're going to rip up the wheat with them. And so here you have all the virgins had a lamp. They couldn't see what was in the lamp. But everybody had a religion. Everybody had something that they were hanging on to. You know, today there are many, many religions in the world. There are many, many religions in the Baptist church. There's people who believe a little bit of everything under the name of Baptist. And it has become now so that a lot of churches don't want to label Baptist, Methodist, or anything. They just call themselves non-denominational. Anything goes. And so there is all kinds of religions. We don't know who's saved and who's not saved. They all have their lamps. We don't know whether there's oil in the lamp or not. It behooves us to know that we have oil in our lamp. Because whenever it comes time for the testing, That's when it will be revealed whether your lamp has oil or not. And so here we see these virgins, all of them are looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom. That's scary. Every one of them is saying, Lord, come on, get us. We're waiting for you. We're ready. We have our lamps. We're ready to welcome you back. But some of them didn't have oil in their lamps. The look on the outside does not always indicate what's on the inside. Listen to what Matthew 23, 27 through 28 says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, what he's saying here, these people were very religious. And they thought they had the inside track on heaven. And they always went back to the fact that they were Abraham's children. And God had promised to take Abraham's children to heaven. And so they said, we're Abraham's children. But the truth is, the promise to Abraham was a promise that those who had the faith of Abraham would be the children of Abraham. And so that wouldn't get them in. They had their lamp, but they had no oil. It is a very scary thing because there are some very serious people who are religious and who are looking forward to the coming of Jesus only to be found out that they have no oil in their lamp. You can look like a Christian, you can talk like a Christian, but unless you have Jesus in your heart, you're lost as a hen. Only Jesus can save. Works can't do it. The life. Listen to this. 2 Peter 2, 17 through 22. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I believe this has been misunderstood many times. The true gospel is that Jesus saves sinners. Amen? That's the true gospel. When a person starts out trying to live good enough to get to heaven, and they struggle along, and then they hear the gospel that Jesus saves sinners, if they go back to trying to work their way to heaven, the latter end is worse than the first. Because now they've been inoculated. Now they've got a religion. Now they have something that they lean on. I believe I'm going to go to heaven because I live a good, clean life. My life is good. My habits are good. And so therefore, I will go to heaven. It's hard to lead a person to Christ who thinks they're saved. Hard to bring a person under conviction who is convinced that what they're doing will take them to heaven. And they just keep making their religion fit their lifestyle. People start out saying, If you want to get to heaven, you got to quit sinning. That lasts about 10 minutes. Then they say, well, you can't completely quit sinning. Maybe you just have to have more good in your life than you do bad. And whenever we stay with that, and we're satisfied with that, then there's no need for a Savior. You see, what we really need is for somebody to save us sinners who can't save themselves. And you don't get the Holy Spirit until you realize that and put your trust totally, completely in Jesus Christ. The lie comes out of a life like that. Listen to this. 1 John 1, 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, one of the most dangerous things we can do is to declare ourselves saved before we put our trust in Jesus. If we declare ourselves saved, whatever our religion says we need to do to be saved, we declare ourselves saved, we've arrived, then we're inoculated. You go right now to a church where they believe they're working their way to heaven, they don't want to hear anything else. I preached at Free Will Baptist Church years ago on the eternal security of the believer, which is not a happy subject with them. And I thought I was going to get tarred and feathered. My own brother was a deacon in the church, and he said, if you don't quit preaching that heresy, I'm going to pray that God will take away your call into the ministry. Whenever we have an idea of how to get to heaven, and we feel good about that, we're represented here by lamps without oil. It's a dangerous thing. None of these virgins knew that their lamps didn't have oil until they tried to light it. It's too late. The realization came when they tried to light their lamps. Listen to this. Verses 5 through 9. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's important. We do not know when Jesus is coming back. We're all waiting. We are all sinners. You know, we can't pick out the sinners out of the church and say, okay, all you sinners are lost and all us righteous people are saved. Because we're all sinners. That's the reason we all look alike. That's the reason we all have lamps and we all are similar, because we all are sinners. And so here, everybody comes short of the glory of God. They're all asleep. Even Peter, James, and John, when Jesus was going to pray before he went to the cross, he said, can you just stay up and pray for me? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray for me. He come back and they're asleep. You see, we're all human. And we all sleep on many, many things. And here are everybody's asleep, so we can't say, okay, all you folks that are asleep, you're lost. Because we're all asleep. There's a whole lot of stuff in all of our lives that doesn't measure up to Christianity. Amen? Yeah. And so what we have to do is know that what we're trusting is the real thing. Search the scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. You can't help him save you. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Now notice, he came at midnight. The significance of that is that it will be in a day and an hour when you know not. The most opportune time for a thief to come is at midnight when everybody's asleep. Jesus says, you're not going to know the day or the hour. Be ready. If you're not ready all the time, he's going to catch you unready. The way to be ready is to get ready. And not try to figure out when he's coming so you can get ready then. Just be ready and live ready. The time, Mark 13, 32 through 37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. But the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, how do we watch? We watch by leaning on Jesus. You see, to watch is not to stand in your yard and look up. To watch under these terms is to have absolute confidence in Jesus' ability to save. We're ready, just waiting for him to come. When the trumpet sounds, we'll be out of here. We have to know that we know that our trust is in nothing else but Jesus Christ and his shed blood. The temptation comes. Philippians 3, 17 through 19. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The temptation is to be caught up in the things of this world, so much so that we do not trust Jesus. Trust nobody but yourself. Whenever we get that idea and we are more concerned about the things of this world, the Bible says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. Whenever we trust Jesus with all of our heart, then the things of this world can fall off, and we still have Jesus to hang on to. We need to trust Jesus every day, all day, with everything we own, everything we are. Anything that separates us from the love of God is a dangerous thing to have. Now I want you to see this part here, the trick of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 12. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now that word let means to allow or restrain. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now understand what he's saying here. You remember those virgins went off to buy, but they were rejected. You see, if you've ever understood the true gospel, that Jesus alone saves without works, and you fail to put your trust in Jesus, but you said, I've got to live a certain way or I'm not going to make it to heaven. I've got to live a certain way or I'm going to lose my salvation. I've got to live a certain way to prove that I'm saved. All of that is to miss the Holy Spirit. We do not add to the gospel. We do not take from the gospel. We have to believe the gospel just the way it's stated, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Period. Whenever we mess that up and we reject the truth one time, when the bridegroom comes and we're left behind, there is no salvation. You've had your chance at that point. Those who've never knowingly rejected the truth may have a chance to be saved. Those who have knowingly rejected the truth will not. You see, the trick of the devil is to cause them to believe that he is the Messiah. You say, well, nobody would fall for that. They would if God sent them strong delusion. Don't miss that. You see, he didn't say that the devil is so good at trickery that he could deceive them. The Bible says God will send them strong delusion. Would God do that? He says he will. You see, Jesus said, my spirit will not always strive with man. There is a time after which we cross over the line. There is a time after which we can't be saved. And Jesus is going to draw that line for those who have rejected him at the rapture. When they come back and they begin to knock and say, let us in, we're back now. He's going to say, I don't know you. Never heard of you. That's where the rejection comes. Listen to verses 10 through 13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man coming. That warning is because of the cutoff. You see, whenever the Lord comes back, for those who are saved, it's a wonderful day. For those who are lost, it's the cutoff. He says, watch, be ready, because you don't know when he's coming. Who's going to be rejected? Workers, for one. A whole lot of people trying to work their way to heaven, and they're working their way to hell. Listen to this. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Key word there is work. He says, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. We need to know what the will of the Father is. Well, he lays that out for us. And this is the will of him that sent me, that whoever sees the Son and believes on him shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Until we understand that truth, and until we embrace that truth, we have no oil in the lamp. The wealthy have a real problem. See, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Man cannot serve God and mammon. There's a real danger getting caught up in the riches of this world. Listen to what the Lord says in Matthew 10, 23 through 25. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, notice he says, those that trust in riches. It's not the having of the riches, it is the trusting the riches rather than trusting God. That's the problem. Whenever we trust in our riches rather than in our God, he says it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. That one that's trusting in his riches. Now, I've heard people try to put a little works in this thing. You know, they say, well, the eye of the needle was really a little gate in the wall. And if you took a camel and you got him on his knees and took all of his baggage off of him, you could stuff him through that eye. You know what's wrong with that? You could do that. Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. He's talking about a sewing needle. You try to stuff a camel through a sewing needle, that's tough. You can't do that. But I thank God, he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So anybody who puts their trust in Jesus Christ and him alone can be saved. And the wicked. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to be a suffering Savior this time. He's going to be a reigning king. Mercy will have given way to wrath. All the people who do not have oil in their lamps will be rejected. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. There's no place of repentance. There is no crying for mercy. There is nothing that will bail you out. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The gospel message is for everybody. The gospel message is to whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he may have eternal life. But understand that it is Jesus Christ alone. If you try to help God save you, he's going to wait till you get through with that and hopefully get the chance to save you. He's not going to help you save yourself. It's not until we completely trust him and him alone that we get saved. This morning, if you've never put your trust totally and completely in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you some symptoms that's going to come up in your life. Whenever you sin, if you're trusting in your life to save you, it's going to make you doubt your salvation. Your salvation is not dependent on how you live. Your salvation is dependent on what Jesus did on the cross. And your faith must not waver. when you sin? Because the question's always the same. Do you trust me now? Do you trust me now? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's stand. Go to the Lord in prayer.